he is. Go ahead and give him a real good hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? That's pretty weak. I tell you what, no more of you glad to be here than that. What's the rest of you doing here? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is. We had camp meeting here last night. How many of you really enjoyed the word of the Lord? How many of you glad that you was in that circle? How many of you glad you're going back to that circle? I tell you, the word of the Lord is just so good, and we're just so glad to be part of what God is doing there. Hey, we're not all of it. We're a small piece of it. But to be in the picture is worth everything in this whole wide world to be included in God's economy for this hour. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege. Play some more of that, guys. Let's sing it one more time. He is our peace, my Lord. Sing that one more time, if you will. He is our peace, who's broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. Who's broken down every wall? He is our peace. With all your heart, He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our praise the Lord. We'll let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Joel Brown, if you come onto the platform. Brother Joel has a poem that the Lord has given him some time back, and he said it would just run in such continuity with what Brother Donnie has been preaching, and he wanted to share that with us. So Brother Joel, if you come on up and do that, lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Brother Carter Lawson says, to remember my niece's daughter. She will be 2 in October. They think she may have a mild form of autism. Needs healing touch from the Master. So let's remember that prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Ruth Ward this morning. Not feeling well. Unable to be in the service. Brother, we've got a little bit of echo up here. If you could do something about that, it would help us just a little bit. Also want to pray again this morning. Continue to remember Brother Rocky and Sister Sharon Ward in prayer. Sister Sharon is in rehab this morning, and I think they put her there maybe on Friday. And so let's pray for her, Brother Rocky, the Ward family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them as they go through this season of their life. God's able to help them, isn't He? Amen. Brother, I've got 2 notes on this. I'm going to let you know about that just in a minute. Sister Nadine Finch says, please pray for my sister that has cancer. She has gotten so much worse, really needs a healing touch from the Lord. So let's remember that prayer request today. I want to pray for Johnny Little, who has been in the hospital since last Thursday. So we certainly want to remember him in prayer, that the Lord would be mindful. I also want to pray for Michael Little, who has cirrhosis of the liver. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today. Brother Amos says to remember Brother Carl Lilly and family in West Virginia on his recent passing. So let's pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Also remember Brother and Sister Danny Fear of Manitoba as they travel to Mongolia on a mission trip. Let's pray for those folks. Mrs. Donna Phillips wants to thank the church for their prayers. Her surgery for polio was very successful. They think it's really going to help her to be able to walk with a lot more ease. So we continue to remember her in prayer. Thank God for touching her. Sister Claire Davis says, remember me in prayer. I will be having knee surgery in the morning. So let's remember her as we pray. And then this prayer request, I actually had two on this need. Brother Homer Longoria's nephew's wife, Kelly Longoria. She was shot in the head during a robbery and left in a cemetery. She's in critical condition in Louisiana. She was abducted during a robbery. So let's just pray for that family and Brother Homer, Sister Margie, and all those folks that's involved in that, the nephew and the victim, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs this morning, we just commit these things unto the Lord. You know we're serving a mindful God. Is that right? Amen. Could we stand together, Brother Joel? We love you, buddy. Appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy.
Hallelujah. Also want to let everyone know, Brother Joel Forney, he was in the area on Thursday and Friday, and was able to spend some time with him there at home, and the boys were with him. But as he was heading back, he was just about 15 minutes from home, and he blacked out. And the Lord just intervened, and one of the grandsons was able to take the wheel, and there wasn't anything major done physically. But just remember him and just the situation with his blood pressure, and just trying to get it under control. That's a servant of the Lord. And he's on the field constantly, and just the needs that are there, we just ask that you remember him as well. And as we pray, bow our heads. Heavenly Father, hearing these requests of prayer, just even this morning as I was preparing to come here to the house of worship, I was just thinking about the many, many needs among the people that we're aware of, and our friends, our families, the saints here at the local assembly, people around the world that we know of that are in dire need, O God. And Father, while we're here and hearing that request of Sister Longoria, Lord, being abducted in this darkness, Lord, that's captured her physical body, Father, we, in this place called time, there's much, much darkness. And here we are in Laodicea, and the darkness is great. And Father, that's because the light that needs to scatter over these people's lives is beginning to fade. So, Lord, we have to be on fire more than ever, to be an illumination to those around us. Sure, we could sit back and say, oh, the Lord will take care of everything. And we know that you will. But you have no feet but ours. You have no hands but ours, no voice but ours. So, Lord, may we submit ourselves, that maybe we could come across someone that may be on their way to do some harm to a neighbor, to a friend, to take their very lives, O God. And this country is stirred up even now, O Lord, in the circumstances and situations that are going on. We just pray that you would use us, O God, to be a light, to be a voice, to be an encouragement, to be something. Lord, it's not just the responsibility of the ministry, O God. It's our responsibility as these attributes of eternity, eternal attributes, doing eternal things with eternal quality, with an eternal force, with an eternal power, with an eternal life force within us, O God. So may we be sensitive to your leading. Move for these individuals, O God, and the needs that were made known by an uplifted hand, we know that you know. Now may you come on the scene, speak through the man of God. May you play through the brothers that are here on the platform this evening. May you sing through the lips of the saints today. And may you receive the glory, the honor, and the praise. We submit ourselves to you in this service. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Brother Louis has said, sometime back in 2011, I've read this here before, but it's just been permeating, pulsating on my heart of late, and I just want to share it with you again to just share it with you. I think it'll be a blessing. Just listen. I've called it insignificance has the last word. We are the final voice of the final age, so we will get the last word in this thing. We will get the last word. Insignificance has the last word. I'm just a little attribute from a land beyond the blue. My body's trapped in this realm here for just a season's few. Some think it's just a fairy tale, only a story in my mind. But they'll soon see the real mystery for me they shall not find. I'm blending into eternity and destined for streets of gold, bidding farewell to what used to be and to its grip that no longer has hold. As that little attribute, I'm insignificant to this world here, but it doesn't really matter when the Maker's voice I hear. He's calling for that part of himself that fell to this hickey of time, soon to be called back into the circle. Simply put, it's sublime. Now, I know the prophet said it's sublime. It's more than sublime, but that rhymed. It just fit right here. Sometimes we don't have the right word. So soon to be called back into that circle. Simply put, it's sublime. So stumble along, world, in all your folly, and continue to say, that's not for me. Well said, I'll say, as I make my way and pass from time back to eternity. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joel. God bless you. Certainly appreciate Brother Joel. The Brown family, they're just very wonderful, important people in our congregation. All of you are important. It don't matter what color you are or you come from. You're important. God thought enough of you to let you be here this morning. That's a privilege from the Lord. Ushers, come this morning. Let's receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor, we certainly want to welcome you. We've got a lot of visitors in the service today. Don't know your name, but if you're a visitor, God bless you. We're certainly honored that you would come and be with us in the service today. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Branham said, you've not been called to a picnic. You've been called to a battleground. How many of you feel like battling Satan today? How many of you feel like just busting him right in the nose? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, I'm all in. Now, you can't be halfway. You're either all in or you're lukewarm. I don't want to be lukewarm. Do you? You know, if you're lukewarm, you're no good to the devil. He don't care. And you're not a credit to God. You're not doing nothing. I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be all in. Are you all in? Are you all in? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised Him that I'm going to serve Him till I die. And I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised Him that I'm going to serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. I took the Master's hand and I joined that Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised Him that I'm going to serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord.
I lift my hands to kindred, bound for the promised land. The grace of God upon me, my Bible in my hand. In distant lands I trod, crying sinner, come to God. I'm on the battlefield. Hallelujah. For my Lord.
Oh, I'm on the battlefield.
trust Him that I'm gonna serve Him till I die. I'm on the battlefield
one more time. Let's sing that little chorus this morning. Have a couple of songs. Brother Justin, if you come onto the platform. Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, if you come onto the platform. A couple of songs this morning. Come onto the platform at this time. Get ready to sing. We'll go right on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the Word of the Lord. We're just a privileged people to get to be here today. A tremendous opportunity from God that He would let us even be in this assembly. We're so blessed. Don't ever take for granted this is just an old church sitting up here on the hill. This is just an ordinary group of people. We are ordinary, but we have been handpicked by God Almighty. So that does away with the ordinary. We've got an extraordinary pastor that loves us, preaches us the truth. We are so blessed. You are so blessed. Amen. And all of us together, we appreciate what God's done for us, do we not? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's sing this chorus this morning. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. See glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel you as you're seated. Give our singers a nice hand this morning as they sing for us.
Dawn is breaking, and I can hear your whisper on the breeze. The world is waking, and I am here to meet you on my knees. And when I'm with you, my soul finds rest, 'cause I can, Lord, I can leave it in your hands. day keeps coming, it's pulling me a million different ways. I'm always running, but never seem to catch the things I chase. And when I'm with you, my soul finds rest, 'cause I can, Lord, I can leave it in your hands. And every sorrow, I leave it in your hands. And every sickness, I leave it in your hands. And all my failures, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it in your hands. So I am laying the weight of all these burdens at your feet. There's no more waiting, 'cause you've already won my victory. And in Jesus my soul finds rest, 'cause I can, Lord, I can leave it in your hands. And every promise, I leave it in your hands. And every healing, I leave it in your hands. And my future, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it in your hands, 'cause it's your hands that form the mountains. Your hands set boundaries for the seas. And in your hands you hold tomorrow. Took the nails from me, and every sorrow, I leave it in your hands. And every sickness, I leave it in your hands. And all my failures, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it. Leave it in your hands. And every healing, I leave it in your hands. And my future, Lord, I leave it in your hands. Amen. I can leave it in your hands. I can, Lord, leave it in your hands. nation I see. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. St. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now listen to his position and authority. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. You believe that?
Amen.
But I want you to notice who he's given authority to give eternal life to. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's got power over all flesh. If he wanted to make the world leaders do whatever today, he can do it. If he wants to make Obama do whatever, he can do it. The governors, the rulers, the principals, whatever, he can do it. But he will give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And if he's give that to you, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is the only place in the New Testament that he refers to himself in this way, in the compound name, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we so love you today. Lord, we know that our nation, she's in the worst shape she's ever been. The nations around the world, politics, Lord, religion, murder, plunder. Lord, it's such a time of unrest. But we're grateful, Lord Jesus, as we see these kingdoms of the world coming to their end and their close. We have one coming that is eternal. You will allow darkness. You will allow Satan to be able to move over the earth. But yet, inevitably, you will bring it all under your control. Help us today, Father, as we look into your word. May you speak to us, great eternal one, as we walk with you in the galleries today, our great, lovely King. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me read to you from what we looked at last night, The Law Having a Shadow, 1956. Your love ought to be in Christ, undefiled, but Satan perverts that love to something of the world. He perverts it so that when he perverted good to wrong and taken the angels with him, a little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity and dropped down to a place called time. So here's the perfect circle of eternity, and a little block fell out of that perfect circle. A little block fell out of this perfect circle of eternity, dropped down to a place called time. It come right in here, goes around and comes right out over here. Time, eternity, exists right on down through time. Now this is where we, by God's grace, believe that we are, of course, living as mortals in this stream of time. That we are certainly affected by time. If we have been only brought to life by mortality, then our life will be certainly affected and controlled by mortal realms, mortal thinking, as mortals do, as mortals behave. But if something came with us when we dropped out of that block of time and dropped down into that block of time, I should say, from the circle of eternity, then something came with us that will give us a great advantage. And that is, it will empower us to be able to believe in the eternal. Now you see, for those who are the attributes of his thinking, they are not just believing and accepting something other than what they are. They are not becoming into something that is different from themselves, but actually they are being identified with that which they were before they ever started in time. Jesus came in order, of course, we know, to be able to bring the block of time back into eternity again. In the eternal was many, many attributes, thousands and thousands and thousands. No doubt as it unveils itself in eternity, we'll find out there was many attributes in him which probably would number in the millions or billions. And as eternity goes on, he will be unveiling himself to us and revealing the greatness of his character and all that he was. But we know the Lord Jesus came down out of this circle himself, and God began to form himself toward flesh, and he made himself a theophany. But God also, in the form of the Logos, he wanted to express himself. And we've looked at it many times, but to me, as we look, the more we look at it, the more clear it becomes. It's not just a gnosis of knowledge. It's not just a hearing and a repeating. But to the Jews, whenever God was made known to them in the real epinosis of knowledge, it was that whenever you knew something about God, that translated into a practical application of your life. And this is the way they judged whether you really knew it divinely or intellectually. If you knew it intellectually, the Greeks believed that when you knew something intellectually, it may or may not affect your behavior. But the Jews believed whenever you really knew something by divine inspiration, it was inevitable. It would affect your behavior, your action, and your calling. Well, I'm not a Greek. I said, I'm not a Greek. I believe that if I really know something about God, it's going to affect the way I act and the way I behave. Now, God Himself, of course, being the fountain of all knowledge, and what little thing we know as knowledge is absolute nonsense to Him anyway. But the only knowledge that we can really be able to comprehend from Him would be that which has been given to us. So the ability that He allows us to see, break into His understanding. We know that God inspired men down through the ages, and they wrote of things prophetically that would come to pass, especially from the prophetic view of the Old Testament, and telling us that God was going to do something. Something was going to change, but they really didn't know what it was. In the Old Testament, they had such an obscure view of even of the resurrections. You can imagine in Psalm 16:10, when David began to speak about it, and Isaiah, when he spoke about that their graves, their bodies would not be left in the graves, it would have been so peculiar because the resurrection was held in such darkness in the Old Testament. But yet God began to let out a little bit more of the light. The same with the messianic appearance. So whenever God Himself was the first one in Genesis 3:15 that began to speak about the coming of the Messiah, yet He let it out in little increments and put a little bit more light. Deuteronomy 18:15, Isaiah 2:4, Deuteronomy 10, oh, just so many different places when God began to let out different things about the Messiah. But the picture was incomplete. You cannot be able to look at it from the Old Testament and get a real, true, clear picture without God inspiring you to see it. As we look at it from the New Testament, once the advent has come and gone, and we look back, then as we say constantly, hindsight is 20/20. So we look back and we see what the Lord Jesus done. We see the great act of God in Him, and we're able to see it certainly more clear. God was inspiring the New Testament writers as they were being also able to look back and tie together the Old Testament prophecies with the New Testament light and showing the people what God had done. To the Jews, it was inconceivable that God would have a son. Now, they believed in the eternal, and they believed that He was El Elyah Elohim. They believed that He was Yah by His name in Psalm 68. By His name, Yah, He rides through the heavens, and by His name Yah, He was known. They knew Him as Adonai. They knew Him as Jehovah. They knew Him as all of these different compound redemptive names. But the mystery of the heart of God, which was the Son of God, was not made known in the Old Testament. So when the Lord Jesus come on the earth and began to relate to Himself as being the Son of Adonai, or the Son of Jehovah Elohim, there's no way in the world they could be able to comprehend it. Because to them, it was as though another person was being revealed in the Godhead. And there's no way they were going to accept that. And for that, I do not blame them. But it was the condescension of the same God that had created Himself toward flesh in this body called the Son. Now, in this, the Lord Jesus taken upon Himself and changed His changed His mass from the Logos, which was the fullness of the attribute of God, which could appear in the form of light or cloud or many different theophanic appearances of Him in the Old Testament. But this one was a human appearance. But yet when it came, He did not identify Himself as Adonai. They would have accepted that. Had He been able to reveal Himself as Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Kizik, Yitzkanu or Jehovah Shammah. They would have been more acceptable to that, but whenever he introduces himself and what appears to them as another person, what appears to them as a lower stance of the creation of God, they cannot relate to it. They cannot identify at all with a sonship of God. They cannot be able to fully comprehend it. And I want to tell you one thing, neither can you and I in the New Testament without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You'll make it two gods or two lords every time without a revelation. That's right. It's not two gods and it's not two lords. It's the same Lord God. It's the same Lord God who created himself and a form of condescension that would allow him to be able to be the Redeemer. Now, since it was man who brought the fall, it must be man who will redeem other men. God could not redeem man in the form of God. And yet God could not die because God is a spirit. And the eternal could not condescend to death. And yet man fell, and man must have a redeemer. And man must have a redeemer that is not a god, but that is a man. So the mystery of this was consummated in the Lord Jesus, in that he was totally God and totally man. Now had he been totally God, that would not have been accepted to the justice of the eternal. It would have been totally unfair, and the appropriation would not have met the justice of God. But since man was the one who led to the fall, it must be a man that would redeem back from the fall. And yet all men are born sexual. So God must bring himself into the earth in the form of creation. Before he ever done this, though, between the hinge of the Old Testament and the New, he already condescended himself in the form of creation in the form of the Logos eons of ages ago. You see, the Logos was the precursor or the pre-revelatory part of the sonship of God. It was God revealing himself as he was condensing. Now you might call it a son, you might call it a creation of himself, but he decided to call it the Logos, so it went out of his own being. But it was a foreshadowing of the sonship of God, which was him coming in the form of Redeemer. Now as this circle of eternity was there, and there was no one there but him, but in him was these thoughts and these attributes and desires and all these things that he wanted to become. And the whole thing is Elohim becoming tangible, and it's the very same thing with you and I today. Then he in his own purpose and plan, this little block of time, it began to fall down. Now it never actually fell down in the Garden of Eden, but it actually fell down in the beginning, whenever that was. Now we don't know exactly the date or the time. Apparently it's not relevant, or God would have given it to us. But whenever time begins, then that's when it was the Word. So the Word was in the beginning of the creation, and that's when the Word began, and when time began, because it's correlated together. So then it dropped down, as we look at it, out of the circle of eternity. Then this little block of time comes down on the bottom of that circle. Now God was, of course, planning and designing his own desire in order to bring it down, that the fullness of his attributes would be expressed, but also that sin would be so judged that there would be no more remnant of sin that would ever come out of the block of time. After Noah came out of the ark, because you're still in the block of time, sin was still there. After the millennium is over, because the millennium is still in this block of time, the last leg before it goes back up into eternity, sin will still come out after the millennium. Right. But remember, after it comes down and it drops down in this block of time, and when it comes back up the last leg after the millennium is over and the white throne judgment is set, then there will be no more time, because there will be no more sin, and there will be no more devil, because sin cannot enter into eternity. You see, Lucifer could have never been able to express what he was in the eternal, or that would give an eternal essence to sin. There is no eternal essence or quality or traits or characteristics to sin. Sin began somewhere in this block of time, apparently right up here in the beginning after the creation of the Logos himself. You understand me? Now, sin could not have been found in the eternal. If it was, that would give a trait or a characteristic that sin would live right on through eternity. So sin come into existence in the block of time. Same way with disease and sickness and affliction and all that. It's only in this little tiny block of time. Now, how long has it been? Maybe millions of years, tens of millions of years, we don't know. But yet the little block of time would be so small in comparison to eternity. Now, the block of time is actually necessary in order for God to bring out all of these wonderful, profound things about him. And all that it will do is to bring out and express in a human expression, as we'd be able to know it, what was there. Now, the earth, of course, was not into existence in the eternal. The sun, moon, stars, Jupiter, so on. It was just a realm of eternity. Now, eternity is not just a constant perpetuity of life. Eternity is not just an ongoing of life. But eternity is actually traits or characteristics of the eternal which live in that sphere. Now, if it was just a prolongation of life itself, then those who would be able to come up in the last day and be given life, then they would have the same traits as the elect. So it is more than just living on and on and on and on and on and it never ending. But it must come from the eternal one himself. You follow me? You're looking at me funny. The eternal one is the only one that could be able to break out of eternity. And then when he did that, whenever he decided to bring that down, sin must come into view. Unbelief must come into view. All this must come into view because in time he works under the law of contrast, both positive and negative, light and dark, sickness and health and all of that. And then God will allow in this little block of time many, many things about himself to be brought into view. And we see this displayed in the Garden of Eden when God allowed the man by his own choice to choose which way he would go. And we start seeing the attributes of God manifested in time in the Garden of Eden that we don't see or hear or know about in the eternity. It's the same way with you and I. Had we stayed in the eternal in his thinking, that I would have never known him as Savior. Neither would you have ever known him as Savior. Where did I find out he was Savior? In this block of time. Where did I find out he was a healer or deliverer? You understand? Where did we find this out? In this block of time. Where did I get my hair color, my eye color, my stature, and so on? Where did I get it? In this block of time. Then when this block of time goes back up into the eternal, then all of those things which are of time essence only, they will cease to exist. Now, as we looked at last night, the grace of God and the mercy of God will actually extend to mortals who live on this earth that never came from the eternal. Now, we know that Elohim had a family, and that family was in him. Unlike you and I, we cannot, of course, call our children's names, know their sex, whether they're boys or girls. We don't know many things about them until they are born, because we are limited in the sense of our access to the eternal. But in the eternity where the eternal was, he knew every son of his, every daughter of his. He knew every age they lived. He knew their hair color, their stature. He knew what color they'd be, what race they would be. He knew all of that. Praise the Lord. He knew every bit of that. Now, we have to wait, of course, till our children are born to be able to take a picture of them and to be able to put their name in a family album. But God had his family album before the foundation of the world. God took a picture of you, not when you were 18 or 20, but when you was at your best. And your best was in the eternal. Oh, glory. Well, I may not look my best right now, but I'm heading back to my best. I look my worst. I ain't never been this old. I may feel my worst. Some of you may feel your worst. Some of us with our gray hair and our teeth falling out and our eyes and this and that and the other. But remember, your photo was taken when you was at your best. And death in this, oh glory, death in this block of time will only develop the picture, but it will develop it back in a tangible sense. When you left the circle, you left as a thought. But when you return back into the circle, you'll return back as a man or a woman. You'll not just be a thought of God. You will be a thought expressed in human flesh. Oh my, I love his condescension, don't you? Now watch in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Now notice what he's doing. He's bringing them sons to glory. He's not making them sons. He's bringing sons to glory. Well, I'm on my way. Bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now watch his condescension now. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. That is, of one nature and of one origin. So the sanctifier and the sanctified all come from the same place. Divine justice required that a man be able to redeem fallen man. So Jesus came in the power of divine sanctification to sanctify those that were in his thinking before the foundation of the world. Notice Paul doesn't say now that he changes them from a goat to a sheep, or he doesn't change their species, but he actually sanctifies them or sets them apart. He goes into their soul and picks up that thought of God and severs that thought from the world, the cosmos that they were born in. As he redeemed the woman at the well, and that thought of God inside of her heard the voice of God for that day, and what did it do? It redeemed her. She was born in sin, that thought of God laying inside of there, but the thought of God must be redeemed. Having heavenly representation is not enough, but that thought must be redeemed by the power of the word. Now what it does, it redeems that thought from the power of sin that holds dominion over your life. It liberates that thought and makes you a brand new creature in the same old temple. Oh, glory to God. And it carries that attribute back up into the circle of eternity. And this is why we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now. God, eternal life right now. This morning, eternal life in your possession. Oh, glory. Notice this now, what Jesus goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And in other words, you know, when Jesus was saying this, the name wordship, as I mentioned to you last Sunday, Hebrew, is the reputation or the character of the person identified with the name. And when you would say the name, Shahim or Hashim, as the Hebrews would say, they would actually use that word, which is the noun name, for the person of God, because they consider the name of God so sacred that they should not repeat it and use it in vain. To them, it's not just necessarily cursing with the name of God, but saying it over and over and over and over again in a very monotonous, repetitious pattern. They consider that to be using the name of God in vain. So they would say the Vashim of God, the Vashim, the Vashim, the Vashim, which would be his name represented his character. So when you would say his name, it would be everything inclusive of what's in the person. Oh, glory. So if you would say Jacob, then you would say a shyster, a trickster, a man that's a liar, and a trick, you know, all that sort of thing. So when you would say the name of Hashem or the name of God, Elohim, Jehovah, Adonai, whatever you'd say of his name, to them it is the embodiment of everything about his holy being. So when you would think of holy and purity and righteousness, magnanimous, almighty, all that he was in the name. Now Jesus takes it upon himself as part of his commission to be able to make known the name of God. Yet we have no place in the New Testament that Jesus ever did a series on the name of the Father. Jesus never sat down and said, now today I'm going to do a series on the name of God. So all of you will be able to know the name of God. Yet his whole preaching was a series on the name of God. But it was what? It was not so much in the explanation of the Hebrew names or the meanings of the names. They knew all of that. It was showing God's character. It was showing the way God was. You see, Jesus being the very heart of God, there was things about God that he was allowed to say that Jeremiah couldn't say. There was things about God that he was allowed to say that Ezekiel and the rest of the prophets could say. Because now God had chose through this sonship to reveal his name, which is very, very fitting if you ask me, because the Son bears the name of the Father. So if the sonship of God by creation comes upon the earth, it will be through His administrative office as Son of Man that the character of God will be quickly revealed. Now, I hope this don't stagger you, but to me, this is one reason why Brother Branham was given such an understanding about the name of God, the person of God, the character of God in this day, like none of the other prophets ever had, or other men ever have, or nobody will ever have thereafter. That is because the ministry of the Son of Man had realigned itself upon the earth, and it was not so much Brother Branham, it was the Lord Jesus Himself that had come down to impersonate Himself once again in human flesh, and with His coming is always a declaration of the name of God. No! Hallelujah! That's why a real prophet of God could never start an organization or a system, because he's not here to define a system or an organization. He's here to declare the name of God. And the name of God is God's character, God's way, God's perfection, His attributes and traits. Oh my! Notice this. The scripture says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Oh, I will declare. I will make known thy name unto my brethren. Now, this is one advantage, of course, of many that the Lord Jesus had over us. And that was that He come from the very circle of eternity, but He remembered His existence. Yes. Amen. But you see, when you dropped out, then it comes down like this, and you fell down into here. And then you come way over here in the last day. And then you start right there in time. You're totally blackened out to it. But He wasn't. But I wonder, as we get closer to the end of the way, if there won't be some light that'll start coming on and letting us know we actually were there. Not just no longer saying it. Well, yeah, we were there. No, I'm talking about actually knowing. Notice, I will declare thy name. Now, why would the brethren need the name of God declared? Are they not of the same family? They are. But because they are darkened to it, they cannot recall. They cannot recollect. Now remember, they bypassed the Logos in the sense of coming in the form of theophany. So they have not become yet the Word. But yet He was the Word and lived in a form of theophany and came to the earth and knew that He existed before. Father, glorify Thou me with the glory that I have before the foundation of the world. Now we might say that and repeat it, but we cannot actually recollect ever being there. He was and knew that He was. But it's important for Him. Now notice, He does not say that He come to declare His name to the Pharisees, or His name to the Sadducees, His name to the brothers. Why? It's a family thing. I said it's a family thing. Well, if I am a brother of the Lord Jesus, and the Eternal is my Father, I want to know about Him. Do you? Do you? Oh my, I've always been a curious type person, and I do a lot of studying and a lot of looking about a lot of different things of life and subject of life and things like that. But there is nothing I love to study any more than the Eternal Himself. Now watch, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now notice where the declaration of the Lord Jesus is going to be. It's going to be in the embodiment of the church. Remember, it was Him in Matthew 16, where He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, which shows the gates of hell would be against it. But He said, they will not prevail. So in the midst of my church, I will declare the name of God. And what will it be? It will be among my brothers. And not only will I declare the name of God, but I will sing in their midst. Praise God. In the midst of the church shall I sing praise unto thee. Now in St. John 17:6, when Jesus is fixing to go off the scene, he says, I have manifested thy name unto the men who thou gavest me out of the world. St. John 17:26, he said, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare. Which shows us the further declaration of the name of God will be ongoing in the oncoming ages that's going to come down through time. Now this is why it's just, well, God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, Lord. People think they know everything about the name of God because they repeat that. That's not the name of God in the sense of what I'm talking about. It is knowing His character. You see, when you say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and then if you think of an old man with a big old long beard, a great old guy, and then the Son, you see a younger guy sitting up there, and then the Holy Ghost, you're not sure if he's a dove or if he's a man or what he is. If that's what you think about when you read those terms, then you don't know God yet. If you're reading the Word and you read the scriptures I'm reading about and hear the prophet talk about that Jesus himself didn't know the hour that he was going to come, and then you take that quote and try to prove that there's two Lords, it proves to me you don't know God yet either. Oh my, you didn't like that, but it's the truth. The ongoing of the revealing of the name of God will keep right on going. And look, it don't stop at the end of the Gentile ages. It will go on through eternity. Part of the Messiah's work was to make known the name of God to his brothers. Unto my brethren. So the Messiah is identifying himself. Now it's not us calling him brother. It's him calling us brother. How does it feel to be a brother to God? Well, I know it chokes you a little bit. You see, some of you can accept the form of sonship a whole lot easier, can't you? You'll say, I'm a son of God. Well, I'm a daughter of God. I'm a servant of God. We'll gladly grasp that. I'm a servant of God. But can you say you're a brother of God? See, it chokes you. You know why? Because his name has not been revealed to you yet as far as what it needs to be. You see, this is not a doctrine, friends, that God wants us to be able to argue and fuss about. It is a recognition of who we are and where we came from. What's this in Isaiah 14:13, speaking about the devil? For thou hast said, or Lucifer I should say, in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Look at the Hebrew word here of stars. Kobab, which is of Messiah's brothers. Messiah brothers. Numerous progeny. Personification. Now you may not believe in predestination, but the devil sure does. You might not believe you was there before the throne of God, but he knows you was. Now here he is saying, I will exalt my throne above the sons of God. Now the prophet says that Isaiah saw him in a vision, and we know that the angels actually fell before the foundation of the world. So whether this little Bob dropped down in time at the beginning of time on the earth, or whether it dropped down into time whenever it come from the stage of the eternal to the Logos, I'm not exactly sure. But I do know that the angels fell before the foundation of the world. So Satan knew somehow that God always wanted to dwell in man. He knew the very purpose of God was to reveal himself. And he says before, now imagine there's no sons on the earth. I'm not sure there's even any earth yet. He says this, I will exalt my throne above your sons. Well, where'd he get that at? Had God said anything about sons yet? Had God mentioned anything about sons? And he said, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. Had God said anything about congregation, church? Praise the Lord. Notice again now in Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee, my brethren. Now listen to me, and don't let this kind of twist you around a little. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our predestination answers to His. And His answers back to us. And it all ties back to the eternal.
Amen.
For whom He did foreknow. Glory! Glory! He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now this is you. Your predestination points to Him. Now watch Him. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now His predestination points back to you. What was it? God Himself being born. Amen. God Himself being born in human flesh. Not two lords, not two gods, the one mighty God.
Amen.
What for? In order to be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't you understand, friend? He wants it to be a family of God. That's what it is. And who are these other brothers? Where did they come from? Up here. They were up here before. They were down here in this block of time. In the block of time is not where you first found God, but God found you in this circle of eternity, and God then expressed you in this block of time. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2:13. And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold I and the children which God has given me.
Amen.
You mean to tell me the Lord Jesus in glory and the personification of the Godhead in Him. And He doesn't say, look at me, look at me, look at what I am. But He says, look at me and the children God has given me. You imagine the angels of God as they stand in awe. As His identification is so personalized with His brothers.
Hallelujah.
Can't you see why there ain't no way in the world you're going to fail but being there. Your security is more secure than the earth's. Your security is more secure than the heavens. For John said the heavens and the earth will pass away, but you won't. They'll pass from another form to another. Behold! 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 Look! Look at me and the children that God has given me. Behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. You mean to tell me we were children before we were flesh and blood? You see, friends, folks who fight this, poor ignorant people in the message who fight this, they don't understand. They're fighting the Bible. You're not fighting Brother Branham's quotes. You're not fighting Brother Branham. You're fighting the Scripture. This is Scripture. For as much as the children. So the children come out of the circle of eternity. They come down on the bottom and they slid down in a block of time in the beginning. So they come down to their age. 1956, 1945, 1963, 1979, wherever it is you're born. And you come down and you're found in this time. Then you start looking for God. Something begins to pull you. Because when you come out, it went, it come out with you. And then you start looking for God and searching for God. And you go to a church here and go to a Baptist church and Pentecostal or message or whatever more. And you go to look and you go to look and you go to searching for God. God, I know there's got to be more. God, I know there's got to be more. And you're looking and looking, and one day that attribute finds you. Praise God. that eternal representation by predestination actually lines up with that thought. Is it a tangible substance in your soul? Is it a visible physical like an atom, a molecule? I do not know. I don't know exactly what it was that dropped down in there. All I know is I'm glad it's there. I don't know exactly how it came into me. I don't know exactly when it was. But the prophet said, every one of you can fellowship with me on this thought. Since you were a little boy or a little girl, there's always been something in you that hungered after God. Maybe you wasn't even raised in a family that went to church, but there was something down inside of you. What was that something? It dropped out of the circle of eternity and come down in the block of time. It was your deposit. I and the children that God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh. Notice, you were children before you were partaker of flesh. That's backwards the way people preach it today. That you was flesh and then you chose to be a child, contrary to Scripture. Well, glory. Election ain't nothing I got to do with it. Come on, don't you sit there, you Armenians. I'm going to blow your theology out of here. Election was nothing I had to do with it. I never chose him. I never wanted him. I never sought him. He chose me. Amen. I was one of them ones that Jesus said, behold, I am the children. And he could have looked right over at me. This is what I wanted to be so real to you, Jim Babb. That the Lord Jesus looked right over to you. And said, I and Jimmy. I'm not just a son. I'm not just a servant. I'm a brother to God. That choked more than half of you. And let me go ahead and give you this other statement and it'll choke the rest of you. Not only am I a brother to God, I am part of God. I am God. In the sense of being a part of the eternal. You're crazy. No, I'm not. I am part of the eternal. I come from that. You're going to look at me and tell me I'm not Don Reagan? You're going to look at me and tell me I'm not part of Betty Reagan? My DNA will prove you're wrong. All you got to do is look at my face and look at a picture of my daddy and I'm just pretty much an image of him. You ain't going to tell me that I don't belong to Don Reagan. You're not going to tell me I don't belong to the eternal. My eyes don't look like him, no. My nose don't look like him. I'll tell you what looks like him about me. It's my ability to hear his word. It's my discernment of the word. It's my love for truth. It's my desire to serve him. That's the image that's like my daddy. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. So the children drop down out of this loop into this box of time. And what does he do? He drops down out of that loop into this box of time. Glory to God. And allowed himself to be tempted by women. And drinking. And lying. Now he never lied. Never drunk. He never did any of that. But he allowed himself to be tempted. So I was talking to a young sister the other night, Caroline. I told her, you realize the Lord Jesus allowed himself in the Garden of Gethsemane to feel, not just to say it, but to feel. Why? Why can be a devastating thing. God, why did you let that happen? God, why did you do this? God, why did you do that? And the Lord Jesus allowed himself not just to say why, but to feel why. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why? He knew the answer, just like you and I do sometimes. Don't you see what he done? He allowed himself to feel why.
if he would have come on that journey and not have allowed that part,
it would have missed a great part of our temptations. But he allowed himself to feel. Why? Because there's something about it when these attributes leave this and they come down into this. It so weakens. It so paralyzes. It so hinders them. Hallelujah. St. John 17:1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Notice the Lord Jesus himself, the Savior of the world, puts a designation between all flesh and those who have been given to him. Election is not a doctrine of William Branham. It's a doctrine of God. Long ago, the world would have annihilated this truth. Do you know why they can't? He won't let them. They tried to burn the people that promoted it. They tried to destroy the Bibles. They tried everything. I don't care what they try. He will never allow it. He has power over all flesh. He can break down the Berlin Wall. He can shoot Putin to the moon if he wants to. He can shoot Hillary plumb over there to wherever more and do whatever more. He wants a Trump if that's what he wants to do. And if they get in your way, they better look out. I don't care how powerful Trump is or how powerful Hillary is or how powerful Putin is. They ain't nothing compared to the eternal. He has power over all flesh. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Look at the Strong's word. Kunosko. Perceive, understand. To the Greeks, this meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. To the Jew, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's character. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. Now this is eternal life. This is eternal life. The word know here as in other places expresses more than mere speculative acquaintance with the character and perfections of God. So it is the designation of his character by a personal experience that he's revealed himself to you. You see, for many, oh, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Savior. Now, they say that because their mama told them that or their preacher told them that. But if you know it, it's not just you saying what your mama said. And the devil can stand there and tell you all day long, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and 38 more times on leap year, tell you all your faults and all your mistakes and all your failures. But if you know he is your Savior, there ain't nobody can talk you out of it. Because it's more than speculative knowledge. It is more than just in the sense of the intellect. It is revealed to you. And this is life eternal. Notice how striking that the recognition of eternal life consists in a certain knowledge. Ah. And this is life eternal, that they may know. So this is life eternal in knowing something. Praise be to God. That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Notice in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. That we may know him. that is true. The same words here is the same one in John. It is a sexual idiom, a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse. You ever seen a baby born by a man and woman holding hands? You ever seen a baby conceived by a man making goo-goo eyes at a woman? Or a woman flirting her eyes at a man? What is it? It's a crossing of the gland in the woman and the gland in the man. The releasing of the chromosomes from the woman and the releasing of the chromosomes from the man. Glory to God. I don't need to get no plainer. You understand? Then what happens? A conception and their birth. Then you tell me, how can a supernatural birth happen in any other form or fashion? A supernatural birth cannot happen by you signing your name on a book. There ain't never been a baby born by a parent signing their name on a book. There ain't never been a baby born by parents shaking hands with one another. Glory! There ain't never been a baby born by jumping up and down and shouting and coming to church. Neither has there ever been a spiritual baby born without the commingling together of the genos of God and that attribute in your soul. And then that baby inside of you is conceived. And you have a birth when you and God cross. Oh, hallelujah. When you and God. You see, the heavens are masculine and the earth is feminine. It was the crossing of them two that brought forth an Adam. The Holy Ghost is heavenly. You are earthly. It's the crossing of them two that gives you a birth. You see, you are like Mary. In the sense that Mary did not have this egg of her own. It was given to her. By creation. Mary did not release the human ovum. Mary did not release from her own body. But that, oh glory to God, that egg was given to her by creation. That attribute inside of you that said amen to the word. It was given to you by creation. And you and Father a new you. Amen. It is God's gift to you. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. I want you to notice then that John does not use any descriptive terms in the plural form as them or theirs. But it's all singular. You see, the truth is always the hardest to find. It's easier to be Jesus only or two-ness or three-ness. The most difficult spot's right in the middle of the road. And the bride's the only one that's got a license to drive in the middle of the road. You say you get run over. No, we won't. It's a one-way street. There ain't no traffic coming back because we ain't going back. You see, John says to give us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true. Even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You see, it's for you to see your need of Him. It's for you to be able to accept that something. It's for you person, not as a collective group, but you as an individual, to look at Him and see, and you catch a glimpse yourself on your own little world of the true God and eternal life. Jesus did not give us a new faculty by which we were able to perceive, but he simply gave us an illumination or an understanding, the ability to know. Jesus is a gentleman, a perfect gentleman. He will not go into any woman that is not willing. Neither will he go into any woman that is not his bride. For him to know her, it must be a mutual consent. And to help nudge her along, she had representation of predestination. How in the world is he ever going to fix this, though? Because she come to this world and she's married by her first nature. She's got a living husband. But he hid that seed and protected that divine attribute of God, which could not be married to Satan in the beginning. Because Satan is a being of time, and this attribute is eternal. Lord, I feel like shouting. So what did he do? He isolated that attribute from Satan's access in his dirty, filthy hands. He could never access that. So he married you. Your first husband that had the rule over you was your nature. So you was married to the devil. You was a married woman. How in the world is God ever going to remarry you? According to the scripture, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, a high priest could not marry a woman which had been touched by another man. How could the living God ever marry you when you were married? Oh. But there was another part of you, you see, which had never been married. It was virgin. It was virgin. What was it? That attribute that was held in total, complete isolation from sin. It was held right there. And what did he do? Whenever you reckon yourself a sinner and reckon, God, I need to die to this old thing, that old husband that had the rule over you was dead. And that new person, the attribute of God, become virgin born word. It had never been married. It had never had a boyfriend. It had never been engaged. Hallelujah. It come from eternity. And he slipped that wedding band of unmerited, predestinated, unmerited grace on the finger of that eternal attribute before the foundation of the world. And that's why in the eyes of God, the bride is justified. She never did it in the first place. You never did it in the first place. This is not your first place. It's the only place you remember, but it's not your first place. Can I have a few more minutes? Now let's watch the love and the grace of God, Matthew 25:34. As it will now spill over from the Lamb's Book of Life into the Book of Life. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now remember, these aren't elect. Well, look, friends, come on now. Do you think God is going to know only his attributes and not know foolish virgins, 144,000, all the rest of them folks that's going to be there? I mean, we have to put the millennium on hold because God is an expansion in progress. Heaven is being expanded because God wasn't sure how many's going to be saved. He made the house big enough for everybody coming. That's a good one. He made the kingdom big enough, and he's got enough mansions big enough for everybody coming, no matter what class they are. Hallelujah. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked and you called me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall, listen to this category, the righteous. Not the chosen, not the elect, not the predestinated, not the foreordained. The righteous. Remember, the scripture says about Lot. The people in Sodom vexed his righteous soul. Righteous compared to who? Compared to Abraham? A penny compared to a silver dollar? But compare a penny to Sodomites. Now remember, these are righteous. But they don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't have eternal life. Oh my. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed? Now notice their perception. They have missed the perception of the link between the headstone and the body. They don't perceive. They've never perceived it because death don't change you. So they died with this mentality. They went to the grave and they were held in this dimension until now the judgment. And they've come up and said, now, Lord, I don't remember ever doing that to you. They miss the understanding of knowing God. That God is in his body. And the way you treat the body is the way you treat God. They didn't understand that. They did not comprehend the bride. Move. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison or came unto thee? I don't remember ever doing that to you, Lord Jesus. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. I imagine whenever they recall that and they think in their mind, I remember helping so-and-so. Oh my God. I didn't recognize when I did that to her. I did that to Jesus. You imagine that woman or that man standing there, maybe standing near, and across the judgment line, their eyes fall upon yours. And you're smiling at them. Lord God. There'll be millions of them down through the ages. There'll stand Nicodemus. Gamaliel. There'll be all kinds of them. And they'll stand there. Here's his brethren sitting with him in the throne. And they'll see you sitting there and say, oh my God. Ain't that, oh Lord, have mercy, God. That's a preacher up at Happy Valley. That's some people that want to, dear God, have mercy on me. And they walk up before him, shaking and quivering. And the king looks at him and says, one time I was hungry, you gave me some food. You imagine the calm that just settles down over these people. Because they can tell by the tone of his voice, he's not mad at them. I told you about it before. Whenever my mom and daddy passed away and I was made the executor of the will and I had to go in the court and sit, and they gave me a window of time frame where I had to be there, you know, from 10 to 2 in the evening. You hear one thing after another, people that ain't paying their child support and people that run off the road and people that drunk and this and that and more. I mean, that judge is raking them over the coals. And he called my mom and daddy's name. And he called mine. And humanly, I was afraid because I thought, this guy's already in a bad mood. It's late in the evening. He's going to hang me over to dry. But I walked up to the bench and he looked at me and said, I'm so sorry for the loss of your mother and father. You know what that done? Exactly what he intended for it to do. Calm me down. That was the judge's nerve pill. My whole demeanor changed, and no doubt he saw it. He's dealt with tens of thousands of people. That's what it was said for. Can you imagine when the judge says, you don't remember it, but one time I was broke down on the side of the road and I had a flat tire and you stopped by. You saw me, I was standing there and it was actually in the form of one of my daughters. And she had on a dress and long hair and you thought, who in the world is that old holy roller? But a little funny, something came over you. You didn't recognize it, but it was me. I was giving you the opportunity to embrace eternal life. You went back and pulled the spare out of the trunk and you put it on there and you changed it. You remember that? I do remember that. There's another one of my children that was in a real hard time. You say, that was you? That was me. In them. They were my embodiment on the earth. Let me find a place to go. Verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Not eternal, but everlasting. Two spaces of time put together. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, why are they going there if it wasn't made for them? Because they chose to. And listen to what part of their choice. I was a hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of these, you did it not to me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Notice the designation of the spans of time. The wicked will go into everlasting punishment. Jonah on the fish's belly said he was there forever. These will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I hope you don't think I'm crazy this morning. But I like making myself available. Just in case anybody might need a favor at the white throne. Say what you want to. Believe what you want. I have value on this earth. Hang tight. I have even more. There. Think of it. Think of it. Now unto the King, immortal, eternal, invisible, the only wise God, be dominion forever and ever. The eternal in the galleries. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, precious dear friends, if you sit here today with the true baptism of the Holy Ghost and you have been baptized into the very life of God, you ought to be one of the happiest people in all of this world. To know that eternal life is in your soul today. And to know that you're not going to stand there that day. It's your works. Well, you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that. And then the bad works outweigh your good works and then you're lost. Sure, we'll stand before the seat of God for rewards, not for judgment. Those that believe on Him have passed from death unto life. I'm not going to stand before the throne of God ashamed of my work. I'm not going to live through eternity ashamed of my failures. If the blood of the Lord Jesus cannot obliterate it in heaven, how can I be sure it can obliterate it on the earth? I'm not going to go through eternity with my head hung all down because of my human mistakes. That's not the kind of heaven my Lord has gone to prepare. I'm not basing it upon my works. Praise God. My destiny, it's forged because of my origin. Praise God. Which has the most power, my destiny or my origination? My origin, I come from the eternal, and I'm returning back. One third of me has already crossed the line into eternal life. My soul has reached the point of no return. Praise God. And we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. If eternal life is not yours today, why don't you open your heart if the Spirit of God is dealing with you? Praise God. You say, what do I need to do? All you need to do, Mary, is give your consent. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He will not overshadow you without you first saying, being unto me according to thy word. And if you'll release that, the created part was in you, the attribute of God. That will is connected to that. It releases that, allows the Holy Ghost to come and overshadow that. The new creation starts from within you. And the prophet said it's about the size of a little button, and it grows and grows and grows. And the more you're able to let loose of yourself and let go, the bigger it becomes, and the more it grows. Praise God. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for these simple things. What can we say, O great eternal one? High and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Yet through your work of condescension, you chose to come down among us. You dwelt among the poor. You rubbed shoulders with the lepers. You went home with the sinners. You went home with those who the scribes and Pharisees would never even speak to, yet you went to their house and sat down and eat dinner with them. And you allowed a little seed of God without an invitation to break into that doorway that day with that precious ointment in her hands. And she come down to your feet and knelt down and began to cry and anoint you, Lord. Simon hadn't invited her, but you had. You hadn't said a word. You hadn't sent her a card or a text or an email. But the Eternal One was on the earth, and he was gathering attributes. And something began to pool on her that morning when she stepped out of her door, went down her creaky steps, and there was nobody in the streets. And she began to inquire what was going on, and she found out there was a great feast. So she came near and began to smell the lamb as it was roasting across the open pit. She smelled all the fragrance of the delicacies of the food. She'd never eaten a meal like that before. But something moved on her heart, and she saw you there unwashed. Your feet wasn't washed. You were sitting over in a corner, as it were, being ridiculed and made fun of. But something moved her. A marriage was fixing to take place, as it were, in the conception of a child, a new creation. She yielded to that. Her fears, her doubts, her frustrations, wondering what you would say. She goes and buys the perfume and comes back. She risks suffering, being rebuked by you, thrown out by the bodyguards, taken by the arm and shoved outside the door, maybe even arrested. But to see your need, it was worth the risk. I see your need today, Lord, for a preacher that'll stand and tell the truth and not compromise. I see your need today, Lord God, to have a soldier, one with such fervent passion and desire that he's willing to die again. Lord, may each man, woman, boy, and girl catch a glimpse of your need, as it were, in this hour. May we be willing to suffer reproach, ridicule, made fun of, but we are willing to meet your need. May I take my little alabaster box. May these sisters, may these young people, may these brothers, may each of us take our box and go to the feet of Jesus and bow down. You humbled yourself to come to us. May we humble ourselves to come to you. Lord Jesus, we worship you. O great Adonai, mighty God, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Thank you, Lord. Because the children became flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. You came out of the eternal, you and he together, and you'll return back the same way. Praise God. The great Creator became my Savior, and all, let's stand, fullness dwelleth in you. What condescension, bringing us redemption, while in the dread of night, not one faint hope inside. God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to win, to save. Thank you. And by faith we repeat the words of the Lord Jesus this morning. I came from God and I go back to God. I came from God and I go back to God. You believe that with all your heart? God bless you. Service Wednesday night. Remember, we'll be having a prayer line, prayer for the sick. Most time, a lot of folks relate to a prayer line as being sick only. But we know, of course, many times when Brother Branham had a prayer line, it was for deliverance of many things. So I don't want you to get in your mind that it's just for the sick. But if you need deliverance of something in your life, or you need the Holy Ghost, the apostolic way of receiving the Holy Ghost is to have hands laid on you by someone who has the Holy Ghost. So whatever you're going to need, I just want you to be able to come and believe. Oh, I just believe we're going to have a great time in the presence of the King. As long as we're down here in this little box of time, we're always going to deal with these things. We're going to deal. Well, I know there's people who say, well, we got the word. I understand that. And after Brother Branham preached one of the greatest sermons he ever preached in his entire life, Future Home, he had a prayer line and prayed for the sick. And you show me where he stopped it. I'll show you exactly when he stopped it, when he left the world. Praise the Lord. Now, if you can sit in your seat and be able to receive it, so be it. But if you need hands laid on you, we're going to do that as well. So we want to come just expecting the Lord to be able to minister to us. You're going to come believe it. Play it, Harry.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. I've always been stranger here, but now I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home.
Jesus, you see,
I'm going where I belong.
I'm always
always I love you, saints. Go in the fear of God.
I'm going home. I'm going soon. I'm going where I belong. I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going home. No more tears, no more pain. No more crying.